I heard recently someone say that they said, what I don't want to do is I don't want to just stay around my local church and not do anything from God. I want to go out and do something. Well, it's my conviction, if you can't do something for God in the local church, there's nothing out there to be done either. I think there's a lot of works of God that's going on every service, every day, through the local body of the church. Can you say amen? And I appreciate those that we have that labor here. This is their field of labor, and they give and they give and they give and do the work of God. Tonight, Brother Jacob's going to be sharing the word of God with us, and you just open up your hearts and just intend to receive from heaven tonight and hear the word of the Lord. Would you come, brother?
Hallelujah. It's good to be in God's house. Amen. Praise the Lord. I was concerned while I was getting the sermon together, because it's not very long. So then, right, that's a bad thing, right? So then, Brother Hurst gets up here and he starts talking about everything that I wrote down. And then everybody starts testifying everything else that I wrote down. So it'll be even shorter. You guys, just keep your shoes on. We're not staying long tonight. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Hallelujah. Chapter 11. I want to say thank you, Brother Hurst, for this opportunity. It really is a privilege to preach behind a sacred desk. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 11. We'll start with verse number 32. I guess I ought to turn there myself. Verse number 32, the word of God says this: and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David also, and of Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, and yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned and were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Chapter 12 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah. If you would, raise your hands to heaven and pray with me and for me. Lord, I praise your name. Thank you, God, for this opportunity to preach your word. I pray that your Holy Spirit would anoint me as I bring forth this message that you've given me. I pray that you would deal with people's hearts and help them to realize that you are God and you are Almighty. I pray that, Lord, you would help anoint these altars to draw men unto you as we lift you up. I praise your name, Father, for what you're about to do. And in the name of Jesus, we thank you and praise your name. Hallelujah. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want to talk to you today. If I'm going to make a title, we'll call it, There's Always Hope. You know, it's really easy a lot of times to find yourself in this world where we live with so many problems, with so many trials and tribulations. It's easy sometimes to think that there's just no hope. I don't see a way out. Have you been there? Where you just looking into a storm and all you see is all the rain, all you see is the wind and all the waves, and it's difficult to see out there on the water a master walking towards you. It's difficult sometimes. But there's always hope. Hallelujah. In these verses I read, there's a few different things I want to talk about. There's destruction, first of all, where we see the attack of the enemy. He said, and you know, should I tell you about Gideon and of Barak and of Samson? I mean, these are men that have seen hard times. These are men that have not only seen hard times, but had to deal with those hard times. You know, a lot of times it's pretty easy to watch all these other people that are going through hard things, you know. I mean, it's easy enough to listen to a brother stand up and testify about how much difficulty he's been through, how hard the devil's come against him, even though he came through it. You know, it's sort of easy. You know, we think, well, you know, those things happen. You know, that's part of it. And the truth is, that is part of it. Pain is a part of life. It's a reality. It's not something that anybody can escape. I find myself in the midst of a generation who is enamored with this idea that the best things in life are free. And while that may be true in a certain context, most things that are free were not always free. Things that we think are just there for the taking and real easy to get, at one time, those things cost somebody a lot of sweat, a lot of trouble, a lot of trials, some blood, in order to get and to make free for us. But things in life just aren't always free. Not the best things. See, really, if something is worth having, it's going to cost you some trouble, it's going to cost you some sweat and some blood in order to get. Fact of life. It troubles me, really, to think that we would want so much with no sacrifice. And it's almost like we feel cheated in life, like we've been promised a whole lot and have so little to show for it. And this isn't just the case in the outside realm. This is the case in our religious circles as well. I mean, we got all over the world. We have these false prophets, these ministers preaching their blessing plans. You know, this preacher will make you rich if you'll send him $10, and this preacher can make all your domestic problems vanish if you'll buy a prayer cloth, and this preacher can transform you into a attractive, effervescent personality if, you know. There's always this little if in there, but the whole idea is to make it sound like you can get maximum blessing with minimum sacrifice. And it makes sense that it would be so appealing. After all, we do go through troubles and trials and tribulations. We're tired as a people, tired of struggling, tired of this scrimping and saving pace of life. But things that are worth having cost something. Nobody likes pain. We try to avoid pain at all costs, but pain is a reality. It really is. It's a demented mind that seeks out pain, that enjoys pain. It's not natural. So we avoid pain at all costs. All costs. It's almost like we're trying to make our own version of the Garden of Eden. You know? But in the process, it seems like all we're doing is making the fires of hell that much hotter. See, the best things in life aren't always free. They cost something. Pain is something that we all go through. I mean, really, if you think about it, though, do we really go through that much pain? I mean, yes, we've all seen hard times and troubles and trials, but when we go down this list of things, I mean, Listen to this list one more time. We think of being attacked by lions and having to escape the violence of fire and the edge of a sword. We have to be valiant in fight. Women are seeing their dead raised to life again, so they've got their loved ones have passed away. They've been had trial of cruel mockings, scourgings, bonds and imprisonment, stoned, sawn asunder, slain with the sword, wandering about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, wandering in deserts and mountains, dens and caves. And really, when you think of your life, try to make a list this long. This long and this intense. Try it real quick, just in your own head. Just think about it. Is life really that painful? See, but the thing is, these people came through it. These people came through and made it. Pain is something that is unavoidable, but there's people that have been through it all. There have been people who have been through what you're going through and come out on the other side, tried in the fire and coming out like gold. Praise God that I know that I can make it from watching other people's testimonies. Destruction is a regular part of life. It's an attack of the enemy that's going to come on all of us. But I've got a destination. I've got a hope in heaven. I've got a place where I'm going. We read it there in the book of Hebrews at the end of chapter 11. It said, all these having obtained a good report through faith received not the promise, because God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. See, all these people that have passed on, they've been through it all. They're up there in heaven and they're waiting for us so that when we get there together, we can worship the King and have that celebration, that marriage ceremony of the Lamb to the bride of the church. Hallelujah. I've got a place where I'm going. Just a few more weary days. Hallelujah. Revelation 21 verses 3 and 4 says, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall, listen, wipe all their tears away from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, neither crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are past away. Praise God, I've got a place where I'm going. This world's not my home. I'm just a pilgrim passing through, because there's a heaven where I'm going, where there's no more pain, no more sorrows, and our tears will all be wiped away. This isn't going to last, folks. This too shall pass. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord if you've got a place where you're going called heaven. Hallelujah. Not only will there be no more pain in this destination, but we'll have to be able to fellowship with Christ. John chapter 14, verse 3, Jesus said, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So we not only get to be in this place with no pain, but we get to fellowship with Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, don't you love Jesus Christ? And there's so much of an anticipation, not just to see these streets of gold and these gates of pearl, oh, but to be with Christ. Hallelujah. See, in 1 Peter 1 and 7 and 8, it says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That means that when we get to heaven, all those pains, all those trials and tribulations, they're going to be worth it all. Hallelujah. In that day, 1 John says, in that day we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Our bodies are going to be fashioned like unto his glorious body, and we'll see his face. And the Christ who shepherded us through trials and tribulations will lead us in heaven from a joy to joy, from revelation to revelation, and glory to glory. Oh, won't it be wonderful there? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember that song, won't it be wonderful there, having no burdens to bear, Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. I've got a promise of a place where I'm going. And it's that promise, that hope that I have. Hallelujah. That keeps me going. In the Bible, you know, they talk about hope a lot. And we have the same word hope that we use, but we use it a little differently. You know, around here we'll say, you know, I hope it doesn't rain. And it's more like wishful thinking. But in the Bible, when they would say hope, it was an expectation. It was a sure thing of something that's coming. Praise God. It's not just a heaven that I hope I get to go to someday. You know, I wish that were real, you know, and maybe I'll make it. No, it's a sure thing, folks. We've got a place where we're going. We have a destination, a hope in heaven. Hallelujah. So how do I get there? It takes determination. Chapter 12 Hebrews starts out saying that we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, so let's lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us and run with patience the race that is set before us. Run with patience. That can get a little bit more difficult. I mean, running with patience, that's a tough thing. But if you look through the Bible, isn't that what it takes? Running with patience, endurance, determination, perseverance. We look in Hebrews chapter 6, the Bible's talking about Abraham and saying that after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. I mean, you can look all through the Bible. I mean, you can look at Samson, and he was patiently grinding away at that mill while his hair would grow back, and he would pray, and it probably took a little while before he got that strength back. Patience. We think of Gideon and all the tests that God put that army through, you know, when they started out with so many and ended up with only 300 against 10,000 men. Patience, endurance, determination. Hallelujah. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. God has promised that we have a hope, a destination, a place where there's no sorrows that we can go to. I'm going to go ahead and finish it here. If you go ahead and come play something on the piano. Patience is something that everybody struggles with, but if it takes patience to get to heaven, and we see that it certainly does, wouldn't you say it's worth the cost? Wouldn't you say that having a place to go where there is no more pain and no more sorrow is worth a little bit of patience? Hebrews chapter 11 is called the faith chapter, the hall of faith sometimes, because it's all about all these people throughout the course of time who have patiently waited for the promise of God. So maybe you relate to that, being in pain, going through a storm, being in tribulation, just waiting for a promise of God. Waiting. Patiently waiting. Hold on. Hold on. The day of the Lord is near. I got a lot of other scriptures that go along with this. I mean, Bible said ye have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God you receive the promise. Talking about Abraham, he patiently endured and he obtained the promise. James said, be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. The psalmist said, I waited patiently for the Lord and he heard my cry. Paul said to the Galatians, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not, if we're patient, if we endure. Pain is something that we all go through. This is something that we can all relate to. But it wouldn't surprise me if there's people here tonight that have been waiting very, very patiently, and you've started to grow weary, tired of just sitting here waiting for that blessing of the Lord, waiting for this promise to be fulfilled, waiting for this problem to be fixed. You've been praying about it. You've been seeking God's face. Hold on. Just hold on. I was reading in the book of Amos, and Amos, he was prophesying for pretty much the entire book of Amos. He's prophesying about an impending doom that's coming on the Israelites. You know, God was going to judge the Israelites, and it was going to be pretty bad. And for the most part, Amos says it all pretty straightforward. You know, he said, you know, for this sin, and for that sin, God's going to do this, this, and this. But there's one part in particular where he gets kind of colorful in his descriptions. He says, like a shepherd takes out of the mouth of a lion two legs and a piece of an ear, so will the people of Israel be taken. That's in chapter 3. And it's not until chapter 9 where he starts talking about after this judgment, how God's gonna build Israel back up. I mean, that's, I don't know, for me, I'm kind of a slow reader. That's a long ways to read before you get to something positive. You know, and for the Israelites going through all that judgment, it probably seemed like a long time. But like a shepherd takes out of the mouth of a lion two legs and a piece of an ear. See, when you've been beat up, when you've been battered, when you've been torn apart so that you think that you've got nothing left worth saving, I know a shepherd who can come down and take what you've got left and make something great out of it. He can bring forth a great victory. When you think that all you've got left is a couple worthless pieces of life, God said, I can make something out of it. Keep waiting. Keep being patient. Hold on. Hallelujah. Let's all stand and bow our heads and let's pray. It's been said that you're either in a storm, coming out of a storm, or about to go in a storm. And for those of you who are in between storms right now, I want you to really pray for those people that are in a storm right now. There's people here, they're hurting. There's people here who are weary. They're tired spiritually, physically, emotionally. But there's coming a day. There's coming a day when like Paul said to Timothy, he said, persecutions and afflictions which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, he said, what persecutions I endured, but out of all of them, the Lord delivered me. There's coming a day, saints, when there'll be no more crying, no more pain, no more suffering, no more loneliness, no more depression, no more sickness. All these things that we face down here, we'll be able to say, out of all of them, the Lord delivered me. And here tonight, God wants to reassure somebody of His promise. And yes, that could very well apply to anybody and everybody even. But God's dealing with somebody in particular right now who could really use some reassurance. And all you gotta do is raise your hand and say, "That's me. I need some help. I've begun to grow weary. I've even started to doubt God's promise. And I need the Lord to speak to me again and let me know that everything is going to be all right." If that's you, all you have to do is raise your hand. Just lift your hand. God sees where you're at. God knows how much you can take. Psalm said he remembereth that we are but dust. He knows our frame. God won't put anything more on you than you can bear. And if you need a reminder of that, these altars are open. Like I said, this applies to everybody here. We could all just come down and pray, but there's somebody in particular that God is here to remind you that He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll be your friend till the end. And He's here to help you. And if that's you, why don't you come down to this altar and we'll pray with you. We'll pray for you, and God will give you strength to endure. He'll give you patience. Come down to this altar where Jesus is and be reminded of His promise. That's it, folks. That's all that I've got. As a sermon, that's the end of it. That's the end of my sermon. Now it's time for you to come and pray. Let's come as a church. It's time to pray. It's time that we renew our commitments. It's a time to rebuild our strength. It's a time to be reminded of God's promise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God's hand is not slack concerning His promise.